get one when you go out. And if it's toward the end and it looks like all the dads and the men, and you know, think this is for every man, okay? It looks like they're mostly gone and you've got a man you'd like to take something to, you go ahead and pick one up too, okay, ladies? Take it to a family member, someone that you love. But I want to talk about this for a minute because, you know, I'd like to find something that's halfway useful, but also kind of a metaphor for fathers and what it's supposed to be. And I think sometimes with what I gave you today, it might be a metaphor of what we need to work on instead of you know, an affirmation of what we are. I've got a pic, for those of you who haven't seen it, you can go ahead and take it out and look at it, but let's put a picture up on top, okay? Oh, it's sideways. All right, well, here we go. If the card was up like this, this is all the bigger than that card is. These are the instructions for it. Now, I don't know about you, but my father was very short with instructions. Okay? You know, what should I do? Well, take a wrench and take the nut off. You know? Well, I was scared to ask, what's a wrench? Could you show me? Remember, righty tighty, lefty loosey. Well, if I'm on the bottom, going right is loosey. No, you got to go at it from the top. Well, this is the exact same things with these instructions. What this does here is, you got the instruction card. Anybody have an instruction card for this? There we go. You have this instruction card here, and over at the side, it lists the parts. The parts go from one to, hang on a second, 10. Well, I was looking at it really close with my magnifying glass, and it's got 10 things here, and if you could see around the card, you can't even see the numbers around it. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. There, I think, 8 and 9 refer to the card itself, because it says it has an adjustable part. Not really. It's just something that goes up and down to adjust. It's an adjustable angle. That's what it is. But if you look at the card itself, I wish that had come out a little bit better up here. But let me kind of highlight some things on it. Look at somebody who has one in their hands. It has guiding numbers. They're clear but not clear. Even on a little card like that, they put the numbers as white in a gray circle. That's about as big as a pinhead. You cannot, for the life of you, read the numbers. I find that even as a man and as a father, I've caught myself being very clear and finding out it was only clear in my mind. Even if I gave the full instructions. Sometimes I wish that I had had more clarity from my father. But as it's going down the side, when you look at the card and you look at the instructions, some things are different. Okay, so first thing is, it's got, you can see the little hook at the upper right-hand corner, right up here. On the actual item, it says a can opener. If you finally get to read the instructions, it will say a beer bottle opener. That's not what I gave it to you for, guys. They are twist-off caps. Now, don't ask me how I know. But I can tell you, even if you use that thing as a can opener, it is not going to work. It might not even work as a bottle opener. Let me tell you why it won't work as a can opener. Because the thickness of that entire card is exactly the same, even on the opener end. It's a thick card that has not been tooled. There is no cutting edge to it. And I have met many men who keep going in life, but there is no cutting edge to them. They cannot open any secrets. They cannot open anything special because they have not been sharpened. And the scripture tells us that the way that we do that certainly is through the word, it certainly is through the spirit, but it's also because iron sharpens iron. Men need to associate with other men. And unfortunately, our society has tried to teach us, stand on your own, be independent. But God's word tells us we need to stand together in order so that iron can sharpen iron. And even if we're not supposed to do something, we may have an ability beyond what we were designed for. Now here's another little interesting part right here. Down here, that's supposed to be a small screwdriver so that, like if your glasses, the screw is coming out, you can whip that puppy out of your pocket and tighten up your glasses. Yeah. The only one problem with that, well actually there are several problems with that. The thickness on that is just the same as the rest of the card. When I put it down on top of my screw, it was half of the width of the screw. And I realized even if it had gone in the slot here, it's a card and I have no way to turn it. Too tight. It gets better. Our position is important, folks. And taking into account what situation that we are in. Now you can't see it, but down here we have a, I'll say this in air quotes, that's a ruler. It's a full inch and a half long. We also have up here at the top, it says keychain. That's one of the reasons that I bought this, is because it's a keychain. You know what it is? They drilled a hole. So you can get your own keychain and put it on the keychain. They should have said keychain accessory, if we're being really true, right? And then you have this part up here. You got for 2, 4, 6, or 8. 2, 4, 6, 8, what? Well, I know the wrenches. Inches? Millimeters? Is that me? I don't know. And I discovered, I went to try it on something, but it had a recessed nut. You know, it was down below the surface. It's no good for that. Once you get it on the nut, even if it fits, well, you have the room to turn it. Now, I haven't issued my review online yet. I think they probably not give me enough characters. And I've picked it apart. But there's something else that I will point out. Oh, by the way, it did come with instructions, and even if it had been readable, I probably wouldn't have read them before I started playing with it. Did you know that? Because we rely on our own knowledge, don't we? And let me say this, fathers and men have a lot of knowledge. We're designed to figure out things even when we don't have the right tools. And this is not the right tool. But one of the things I found out is the holder that it's in is supposed to hold your phone or your tablet. No, that's not going to happen. But I had it first where I was using the leg that comes out of it to prop up the flat part, and every time I put my phone on it, boom, right back down on the ground. And then I figured they wanted, finally looked at what they were putting there. See how this part is flat on the surface, and then it pops out? Then it works. But don't touch your phone while it's on it. So there are your warnings, my friends. But I've left out probably the most important part. With all its deficiencies, with all of its adjustments that it needs, with all the forethought it needs to be any good whatsoever, it is stamped on the inside and on the outside. Man of God. For all the deficiencies of the gentleman here, father or not, you're a father figure, and you have your days of doubt, and you're wondering if you're even the right tool for the job. and whether, even if you are the right tool, whether you can accomplish what is set before you. You are stamped inside and out, man of God, and He will complete us. By the way, there are instructions, and I want to share a few of those. All of that was just the introduction to the sermon. You thought it was short today? That was just the introduction to the sermon. We need to laugh at ourselves, don't we? Now, what I did was for this sermon is, you can take that slide down, that other thing. So, but what I did was I went through Proverbs and I pulled out some of the teachings, not only to fathers, but to children as well. So that's one of the reasons for the youth that you're still in here instead of going downstairs. All right. First, listen to this. Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. First off, do you hear that tandem that is there? Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 4:1-4 says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. When I was a boy in my father's house, he taught me. In some ways, we have forgotten what the education system was originally built for. The textbook was the Bible. For the prairie schools and in a lot of places, most of the places that you're hearing of now that are basically epicenters of atheistic theology were formed by churches and by people of faith to advance the kingdom of God. Kids were taught by reading the Bible. Now, I will grant that some people say, well, that's the only book that was available for them to read. Yes, but it was out of Scripture where we were taught that we are to continue teaching our children. It is not just that we send them off to a school. I'm grateful for our schools. I'm grateful for our teachers, the administrators, even the staff that keep the place clean. I'm grateful for them. But we cannot put away and say, okay, it's taken care of and check it off the list. You've got a big job, Mr. Kelsheimer, as many people here know. And you can tell the families that have followed that, because they are families upstanding in the community. Now, there's an emphasis in these verses on passing down not just wisdom and knowledge, but it is godly wisdom and knowledge. And I don't know about you. You might think, oh, that's easy for you, Pastor Mike. You've always been in ministry and you preach now and things like that. No, I still have things for my married daughter and son that are wisdom, that are passed down. And sometimes I am quaking in my boots because I don't know exactly what to say or where it comes from. But God the Father has almost always given me something that is relevant for that. Even in the time, as a matter of fact, the times where I feel most insecure in dealing with my children and my grandchildren is when something comes out that seems to be beyond me and has such an impact that it's far beyond what I could do intentionally. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, men, we are built to continue to operate and to continue to advance even when things are hard and even when the ground is unsure. That is what we are built for. There are times where we have abundance of finances and things such as that, and there is nothing wrong in the family unit, especially a husband and wife, where you share information about finances and things such as that. But I find that many times, especially in counseling and things that I've seen, that many times, not all the times, but many times, the husbands can carry a financial burden that worries the wife to death because of the security factor of it. We're built that way. In fact, sometimes we're built that way so much that it can seem like we really don't care. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we carry things different, especially if we know a good father And we have evidence in it through our lives of his goodness to us in time of need. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the second thing is, you might think this is a stereotype, but if you do, it's a stereotype from Scripture. And that is that the Father is seen many times as the disciplinarian. My mother, don't mistake me, my mother was a disciplinarian too, but it was my father I feared. And in fact, if he was at work, I feared him all day long, until he got home. You just wait until your dad gets home. The worst words in the world for a child. You punish yourself more all day than what your father does when he gets there. The day is worrisome, but the time with the Father is fleeting. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord, now listen to this closely, the Lord reproves him whom he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights. God doesn't reprove us or correct us like the angry father or the tired father that's come home at the end of the day. God disciplines us because he loves us deeply and is delighted in who we are. You see the difference in that discipline? When we hear discipline, and I don't know about you, but corporal punishment wasn't a no-no when I was growing up. And I want you to know, it didn't hurt me at all. But the Lord disciplines us in such a way because he is proud of us and wants us to go farther. Wants us to have abundance in life. Wants us to have esteem from our peers. Wants us to have good provision. And if we as fathers and as parents in general can have that attitude every time we discipline our children. I know it's not going to happen, but it should be a goal of ours. Remember, the iron sharpening iron, becoming more or sharper than we should be in order to be a proper tool. See, discipline is portrayed here not as punishment, but a sign of love and commitment and hope. Isn't that a great way to look at it? So when we are hurt, when we hear, fear the Lord, it isn't in the sense of wait until he shows up and then you're going to get it. You're going to get it all the time, but it's the good stuff. We don't have to wait for it. Here's a third thing to keep in mind. Fathers and the legacy of righteousness. We work a lot to make sure that we have something to hand on to our kids, don't we? You hit a certain age and you start thinking about your retirement and how you can get to the end of life. And then you start, if you're successful in that, you start thinking about what you can pass on to your kids and your grandchildren and your family to assure their well-being far beyond when you were there. Well, the father's integrity affects the spiritual and moral inheritance of his children. There are things that I had a stepfather from 4 years old on, and there are things, both good and bad, that I picked up from him. I think I shared with you before, people would always say how much I looked like him, but I was not his blood offspring. Because I acted like him, I stood like him, I talked like him, I had a haircut like him because he cut my hair. There were lots of things that went into that where it didn't have to be me personally being a part of his genealogy, but I still had an inheritance from him. It doesn't always happen this way where you teach righteousness and that it's accepted by your children. But I am blessed that it has happened that way for our family. Both of our children are leading worship in their churches. I can't think of anything worse to be a person of God and be afraid that your child will not be in heaven. I can't think of anything worse. And you can't dictate it, but you can give it as an example. And the scripture tells us, train up a child in the way that they should go, and they'll always follow it. I'm glad somebody laughed. It doesn't say that. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Scripture shows room for choice. My heart breaks when we have discussions and there are children who are not in the way, who are not able to engage godly things. That is a heavy, heavy burden. And we should walk with each other in that. We should support each other in that. But it is definitely that the father especially affects the heritage, but it also affects a neighborhood. The problem in our African American communities is not because it's just filled with such bad people. It's because we have made it more convenient not to have a father in the family. More convenient for that than to have the father in the family. Over 60% of African American homes do not have a father in the house. And God promises that when there is a father there, and when there is righteousness that is an example, there is hope. Not only hope for your family, you, but hope for your generations, and hope for your community, and hope for your nation. Fathers are portrayed on all the comedies as buffoons, think they know it all, but know nothings. And it is quite the opposite. And I'm proud to stand with other men who stand against that stereotype. And I am proud to be a resource if needed, but also to have so many people as a resource to help me along and be an example to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm looking at some that don't have kids yet. Because I can look and I can see you're on the right path and your children are going to be blessed. Fathers trusting God offers spiritual security and emotional refuge for his children. The Proverbs 14:26 says, In the fear of the Lord, remember this, what we mean by fear, one has strong confidence and his children have a refuge. When my son was young, he was about 4 years old, he started having nightmares. And the nightmares went away fairly quickly. And the reason was that we told him, there are no monsters in this house. Because God, Jesus, and Daddy don't allow it. And he believed it. And he has slept very well ever since. In fact, our small group was stunned when we were meeting in the house and Ben waddles in as a 4.5-year-old and says, I'm going to go to bed now. Night, night, good night. And he walks off and goes to bed. And everybody's going, where did you get him? Can we have one? Yes, you can. Now, it goes beyond just saying the words. If it was cartoons with monsters, we would just say, remember, we don't have monsters in our house. If it was a book about some kind of dark, you know, fiction, remember, we don't allow monsters in the house. So that in deed, as well as in word, we did not allow monsters in the house. So our legacy is real. And an earthly father, this is the most important, is a shadow of our divine father. But that divine father has put his stamp on you. He has put his stamp on me. And I'm not talking just to the men now, but for everyone here, God has put his stamp on you if you have accepted Jesus Christ. Romans 8:15 assures us of this. You have received this spirit of adoption as sons. By whom? By that spirit, we cry, Abba! Abba, Father. That is the Hebrew word for daddy. Not dad or holy father, but daddy. And we can trust that the holiness of our Holy Father has been given to us as well. Cling to that. Worship team, would you come forward? I have confidence in what I just said, because at the baptism of Jesus Christ, the heavens opened up, the Spirit descended, and the voice of God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." There's that phrase again. If you are having trouble loving a child, your first step is to be well pleased. Maybe well pleased in just having a child. Jesus deserved that accolade. Jesus said when the disciples asked to see the Father, he was saying, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father because of what I've done. But he also said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing, and I don't say anything that I don't hear my Father saying. And if you want to have that type of power and pleasure from God, then you will do the same. I will do the same. Allow God to guide and allow God to speak before you even act. And finally, Jesus followed the will of the Father. There are things and ways and that I wanted to do as a father, but it was not God's way. And we must surrender where we say, Father, not my will, but yours. And when we do that, we do it with the full knowledge that we are giving it to a good, good Father.